This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Her Vantage and Enterprise. I'm Frida Liu, and of course, Her Vantage is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. Once named by Asia Week as one of Asia's most influential women, Elsa Pau, current publisher and CEO of Wealth Asia Media Hong Kong, is bringing the biggest and most prestigious banking awards to Malaysia, called the Benchmark Wealth Management Awards. Elsa, whose interest is to innovate and drive propositions that benefit real change for communities, also the editor-in-chief of Benchmark Magazine and investment governor for a few family offices in Asia. Further, she's the creator and curator for the Sustainable Family Office Forum, the Women Extraordinaire Forum, and a series of best practice wealth and investment management awards operated under the Benchmark brand. Welcome, Elsa. I know you've been on the show before years ago, but I guess we'll be talking about a different topic. Maybe we can just refresh our memories, your story and your journey towards where you are today.
Sure. I think the last time when I came here, it was about the Women Extraordinaire Forum we were launching in Malaysia for the first time. It was completely fantastic. People enjoyed it, and we enjoyed it as the organizer. And I think we brought a bit of a value here as well, empowering women to break the glass ceilings and moving forward and enjoy a life they deserve. This time, we are here in this country launching for the first time our Benchmark Wealth Management Awards for affluent clients. We do this because we see the needs. The entire Asia, we have wealth developing, we have wealth emerging. In Malaysia, people are very hardworking too. We see wealth developing in this country, and we feel that customers, both customers as well as the banks, are probably not too ready for a wealth management per se. So we wanted to bring some international and regional experience to this country and hopefully to drive best practices by setting some benchmarks for both the banks to compete against and follow, and also for the consumers to know what is good and what is bad.
And your story in your involvement in wealth management, how did that begin?
Okay, I started as an independent financial advisor many, many years ago. I think it was about 20 years ago. And we felt that people, when they look for wealth management, they really need to have an independent perspective. So when I walk into a bank, I walk into an independent advisory, I don't expect people to sell me things. I want people to tell me what I need based on my current situation, my risk level or tolerance, and how are these products helping me to get where I want to go. So that's how I started as an independent financial advisor. And then about 15 years, 2002, kind of wanting to do something else, you know, typical entrepreneurs that can never stay still with one thing. And then we started looking at the industry around, and we feel that one or two companies doing well in the industry is not enough. We need to help other companies and players in the markets also do well as well. So we need some kind of a yardsticks. A competition would be great. So at the moment, not only the Wealth Management Awards that we have in Asia, we also have other series looking at asset managers, pension managers, insurance providers. So we wanted to cover the entire spectrum of the wealth management industry. Also, hopefully, one day we educate the consumers as well, not to be chasing after returns, but they are also looking at understanding what they need, how they get there. Because you don't need to make all the money in the world, honestly. Yeah. I seldom hear people walking into a bank and asking the banker, I want to make $2 million in 1 year for no reasons. No, they don't do that. Right. They always go in there taking risk for a reason. They invest in a piece of stock, invest in a mutual fund for the reason of generating some returns, so that they can buy a house, so that they can retire, they can give a better education to their children. So these objectives are very valid. So how do we get there? We don't want to take unnecessary risks, because if you want unnecessary returns, you get unnecessary risks. Mm. That is how we should be educating customers here.
Right. Okay. Mm. Now, one of the things that before we go further into the awards is you're an investment governor for a few family offices in Asia. Is this is something not readily available in Malaysia?
No, there are many, many wealthy families in Malaysia as well.
Right.
It's not a big industry, but it's becoming.
I guess, what does an investment governor do?
Okay, so when you have a wealthy family or a family that has tremendous wealth, usually what happens is they would need to sustain that wealth even after they're gone. They would like to have the wealth passed on to the next generation or some kind of a social endeavor that they wanted to fulfill generations after generations. So you need to have an investment committee, someone handling the policies of the investments. So they could be as detailed as not to invest in this, and then they could say, okay, all my beneficiaries, all my family members are relying on this money to live on. So therefore, this pool of money should generate returns or income. So what we do is we look at the entire wealth and we would say, okay, what is this objective? What is the objective of this? Is part of this going towards certain investments and certain social benefits? And also whether or not this family is very socially responsible. Mm. What that means is if a company, especially the second generation wealth holders,
who might not want to take over the business.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. So as the founder of the business or the father or the very patriarch type of families, they want to look after the next generation. Yeah. So they wanted to dictate how they get the money. If my son gets an MBA, he gets certain, percentage of the capital. Or else, this mandate has to generate income so that everyone has a comfortable living. Right. But also there are mandates like, for example, families who are very socially responsible, then we put in a, what we call the ESG mandate, which is the environmental, social, and governance. So we don't invest in anything that is anti-environment. What that means is the company that we're investing in or a project that we invest in, they should not be creating climate stress, water stress, or they should be, like companies that we buy French fries and chicken wings from every day, they could be producing tons and tons of oil that's being poured into the ocean.
Yeah. Mm. I guess at the end of the day, it's like, when you leave a legacy, you want people remember your legacy in a positive way.
Exactly.
Right? Mm. As opposed to a negative way. I think the story with the Nobel Awards and all that, right? So one of the things as well, I know you're not doing the Women Extraordinary Forum, but what about in terms of women being comfortable with finance or understanding finance? It's, it seems to be a case of them not being interested or not wanting to know. Is that still the case, having been in this industry for so long?
When it comes to money, I think women are being stereotyped certain ways because men probably...
Are women living up to the stereotype? That's the thing.
I think they are, unfortunately. Mm. So we...
Still, yeah.
Unless, someone is very much pushed into a situation where they're a single mother or they're born with a huge interest in science or money. But actually, I don't have my statistics in front of me, but women actually make better investment managers than men.
Because
they don't react too quickly. They're more calm. Of course, people would say, men are more into the heroism.
Okay.
Or, they're upset with something. They just go sell it, things like that.
And, I think in Cantonese expression is dai la mian.
There are dai la yan too, right? So I think that the reason that is, women and men certainly are born very differently. We're not trying to dispute that fact. So women are more calm when they're encountering crisis or a situation. They would tend to think carefully, prudently, and then respond rather than reacting. Mm. Maybe that's also a biological situation too with men. They just react. If you go to the pub, you can see fights more often there, right? Someone says something to offend you and then you punch him on his face. Women don't do that.
They give it some time to think about revenge.
Yes.
Now, so this Benchmark Wealth Management Awards, this is the first time it's being held in Malaysia.
Correct. Mm. Yes. Under this umbrella Wealth Management Awards, we look at the three segmentations of needs. One is for private clients, which probably for this country is slightly a little earlier. Even for Hong Kong, it's still early. And we have this affluent client, which is a developing wealth. So people all the way up to the premier banking. And we have one for protection series because protection applies to every single customer, whether you're wealthy or not wealthy. You're protecting your wealth, you're protecting your savings so that, for example, if you're sick, you don't eat into your own savings, you have insurance that would cover you. So these three very unique sets of series under the Wealth Management Awards umbrella, we're taking the affluent client here to start. We've been talking to many banks, I think all of the banks here, foreign and local. They welcome this idea very, very much. They're looking for new ideas. They're looking for some guidance. They're also looking, to learn from each other. So this award is not only about giving out a trophy. It's about setting some benchmarks. It's about looking very deep inside the bank in the pillars along good governance, client support, technology deployment, their branding and marketing, of course, the product side. So we also look at the Islamic banking, but we don't think Islamic banking should be as a standalone. We should not segregate that. It's part of, you know, this award. So we have products dividing the conventional banking and the Islamic, but everything else is the same. You know, okay. We should all deserve excellent customer service. We should all deserve technology development.
Why this year in Malaysia?
No particular reason. For our group, actually, we have started stretching, expanding out to other countries because we have been very conservative. We always believe that if we can't perfect these awards in our own hometown, how can we go out and tell other people what to do? So we have waited until 2016. So last year, 2016, we have brought our flagship product, the Asset Management Awards, to Singapore and Taiwan. And we have chosen this particular award for Malaysia. Malaysia is an excellent place to study, you know, the developing world. And it's a beautiful country where there's a lot of resources, many, many initiatives, such as your, you know, Super Corridor. It's very fantastic. It serves as a hub to support a lot of these financial services, such as IT and call centers for right. client support. Excellent jurisdiction to be doing all those.
All right. We'll talk a little bit more about the awards, when it'll be held, and other details with Elsa Pau, the CEO of Wealth Asia Media Hong Kong. You're listening to Her Vantage and Enterprise, BFM 89.9. Enterprise, and you're listening to Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Elsa Pau, the CEO of Wealth Asia Media Hong Kong. We're talking about the Benchmark Wealth Management Awards, which will be held in Malaysia this year. And you were saying earlier, Elsa, that it's being held in Singapore, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and now Malaysia. Any other countries?
No. So the three flagship products we have, we are going to penetrate to these four countries to begin with. We're potentially looking at India, but too early to be doing that. It takes us at least 1 year to do our groundwork for studies.
So when you say flagship products, these are the four categories in a way.
Yes. So the categories, so we have one wealth management awards that has the affluent segment, the private client segment, and the protection segment. The other awards that we hold, which is now on its 14th year, is the Asset Management Award. That one also has a different sector. So we have the typical asset managers, like fund managers, and we have the pension managers. In Hong Kong, we call it mandatory provident funds.
Our EPF.
Yes, your EPF. And the other segment is the ETF, exchange traded funds. So we have that in Hong Kong, Singapore, and Taiwan. We don't have that here. We don't have the Asset Management Awards here in Malaysia because the fund industry is not as developed, is not as huge for us to draw a reasonable comparison. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we believe the Wealth Management Awards for affluent clients is the perfect product for us to load here.
And the results will be announced when?
At the moment, it's tentatively around June, July. And it's important to have the whole 5 or 6 months journey, because this awards not only look at the companies, the banks themselves, but we also look at the bankers. It's an interesting, very, very interesting process. So the banks would nominate their bankers along
individual bankers
along the three types of seniority. They could be a rookie category, and there could be a more standard ones, the ones with the 3 years or more experience, and they have the relatively higher net worth category.
Okay.
So each of these three categories, they would nominate, you know, banks would nominate their bankers, and the first thing they need to do is to crack a very difficult case. This case is it's almost like reading a script or a story. It's about a person or a family, the in-laws, the children, the interests of the children, the health of the father.
The squabbles.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, in this case, you see a mentioning of two pets or dogs or cats or something. And then there's a half-brother. And, you know, it's a very interesting story. So the higher the category goes, the more complicated the case would become. So the team would then come together and try to solve this case. First of all, by understanding the risk, reading mm-hmm. between the lines mm. where the risks are okay. for this person or the family. And then they would figure out, they would acknowledge the gaps, how much money he has, how much he needs. And then they would come up with a solution, a proposal on how to help this family get to where they want. So they need to understand and read between the lines and figure out how many challenges of this family have, what the purpose of life of this family, and their perceived risks in order to solve this case. So once they have that case, we would then be picking from those submissions, and we would select 30 candidates.
Right.
The 30 candidates, 10 from each category, and they would move on to the second stage of competition, which is a closed-door interview. So these jurors are very senior veterans. Mm-hmm. They're financial planning and wealth management experts.
In the case of Malaysia, they'll be Malaysians?
And then we will also be bringing some international judges, so to bring in the international flavor and also to add some perspectives to it. And so we're going to be very straightforward enough with the contestants. Nobody can accompany them to the room because we don't want to embarrass them by telling them the truth. And finally, the next stage, the final stage they need to move on to, is nerve-wracking stage. Mm-hmm. So each of the bank would nominate 15, 20 people to a forum, which we call the Best Practice Wealth Advisory Forum, also known as the Peer Voting Forum. Mm-hmm. So the 400 people in the audience would have their handphones down after downloading our app. Then six groups of five would take turns to go on stage. When we go to a seminar, we see experts on the panel. They would talk about different subjects and they would argue about certain topics. That's what the kids are going to do. I say kids, I mean the bankers. So they would then be talking about a certain subject. Could be about retirement planning, could be about asset allocation. So they would get a tough moderator like myself challenging them in many different ways. Oh. And the 400 people in the audience would get to vote for them. Okay. They would be moving their names up and down on their handphones, and then they would submit their votes. So it's very, very
nerve-wracking,
but enjoyable experience for everyone.
And I guess at the end of the day, the purpose of doing this is just to elevate the standards in handling people's wealth, right? And the more complicated, the more that's real life.
Yes,
right?
That's real life. Very real cases. Even, in Malaysia, you have clients with multiple passports, multiple residents, and you're subject to different taxation as well. So bankers do have the obligation to understand a little bit of those things in order to care for the customers.
Right. So this is very exciting times. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yes.
and hopefully, you're getting a lot of people to participate in this. Mm. Thanks for being with us again. I've been speaking to Elsa Powell, the CEO of Wealth Asia Media, talking about the Benchmark Wealth Management Awards. You've been listening to Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.